Hello and welcome. For our next session, we have Shamila Nasazi with a presentation on what to do when local citizens do not consent. And that is going to be a discussion on how to navigate difficult field scenarios that involve local communities, specifically drawing from HOT's field experiences in Kapala. And after the pre-recorded presentation, she will be joined by Marcel Shabani and Edie Cheswan for the discussion. So you can direct your questions.
Hi, everyone. You are welcome to my State of the Map talk. My name is Shamila Nasazi, and I am from Uganda. For this talk, we shall be talking about what to do when local citizens do not consent, especially for field programs. When you are in the field and you have a field, when you have a field mapping project, how exactly should one go about the citizens refusing? Basically, people are saying, no, you're not going to do any data collection here because of such and such a reason. You are not welcome. For this talk, I was hoping we would have more of a discussion, a roundtable discussion, and I will go first. I will talk about our experience in one of our projects in Kampala, which was the Nakamira project. I will briefly talk about the Nakamira project, what we were doing, where we were doing it, and we shall look at the challenges that we faced during this project, especially around local citizens not consenting. We shall look at, I will tell you guys some of the concerns that the people that refused had, and why they thought we wouldn't, why they did not let us do any data collection there. And we shall also talk about what we tried to do to address this issue and how we went about it. And then we shall have, for the rest of the talk, hopefully we shall be hearing from other people in the audience, because I know this is not only local to Uganda. It happens. It's bound to happen in other field projects around the world. So hopefully we shall hear from other field managers or people who have tried to do similar mapping activities in their neighborhoods and the different challenges that they face and how best they go about them. So the Nakamira Channel Mapping Project, this is a project that HOT worked on in collaboration with the Kampala Capital City Authority and the World Bank. It is also based off the Open Cities Africa project that is under the Open Data for Resilience initiative by the World Bank. This has been done across, the Open Cities Africa project has been done across over 11 countries, if I'm not mistaken. I know there's been a project in Kampala. There's been a project in Zanzibar. There's been a project in Ghana, in Accra. There's been a project in Monrovia and other cities across Africa. So for this project, basing off the GABA pilot, which was the project that we had under the Open Cities Africa initiative. So with this, we were mapping basically to address the flooding in Kampala. As we progress, I'll show you some of the pictures from the areas that we were mapping. So with this, for the Nakamira project, we were in a different part of Kampala, not Gaba. It's a place called Kawempe, and we were mapping 5 parishes that are around the Nakamira channel, which is this one here. So you might wonder sometimes, usually some of the issues people can raise, maybe like you would think, okay, someone would probably refuse because you are collecting very sensitive information, and well, how are you going to use this data in the first place? So I thought I would share with you what we were with the features we were mapping, and maybe you'll tell me if you think it's actually sensitive information. So we were looking at, for this, we were trying to collect information that could be used by the Kampala Capital City Authority towards supporting the resilience of this community in Kawempe and how best to approach the flooding. So it rains heavily in Kampala, and sometimes these heavy rains result into situations like what you can see in the picture on my left over here, where we see like a car actually being taken away by water. So for this project, we were looking at collecting information. We collected information on the road network, the road and drainage network in this area. We also looked at the waste disposal points in this area. We also mapped public amenities like places of worship, schools, markets, offices, public offices, community halls, and all the different social amenities that are within this area. This was to help us see, okay, to what, which facilities are affected, first of all. We also got information on all the buildings within this area. We were gathering information like what building materials were used to construct this building, how high is this building, what state is this building. All this information would be very useful to the Kampala Capital City Authority to better plan and see how best to combat the flooding issues within Kawempe. So during the project, HOT developed some information products that were shared, that were to be shared with the community and the Kampala Capital City Authority. So this is an example of one of the products that was made. It's a map showing the building flood risk of YSA3 Parish. So what stands out most in this map is the gap that we have in the village called St. Francis, which I'm going to just show you here briefly. This. So I'm going to just briefly talk about what happened in St. Francis. Why weren't we actually able to map? So the leaders in St. Francis basically told us, you're not going to map our area. You will map other places, but not this. Luckily enough, on our side, other leaders, the leaders of the other villages in our area of interest were welcoming and appreciated our efforts and were very cooperative. So the main concern that were raised in this particular case was the fact that we were working with the city authority, which is well known for, well, ensuring that the city is well governed. So in this particular area, the Kampala Capital City Authority was already conducting a project around expansion of the Nakamira Channel. So some of the people got us confused, got us mixed with the Kampala Capital City Authority. Some thought we were working for KCCA, and we were merely just disguising as KCCA was disguising as HOT to continue evaluating and doing their work. So they thought that the data we were collecting was going to be used by KCCA for other things like increasing their ground tax. Some thought they were going to be evacuated from these places. Others thought we were, basically, we looked like we were going to be agents, very bad agents to them. So what we tried to do to address these issues and concerns that they raised, we had several meetings with them explaining the project, because this is key. They had to understand what exactly we were going to do and how this information was actually going to be used. So we had focus group discussions with them, shared everything literally that they needed to know about the project. Another thing that we did was showcasing successful projects. We talked about the GABA pilot that had happened under the Open Cities project, because they were both these communities are essentially the same. They are both affected by flooding, and we thought this was actually the best case scenario, best case study to showcase to the Kawempe team, to the St. Francis team. We also carried out community sensitization in a way that we involved the leaders in some of the work. Hood prides itself in community, in participatory mapping. So we had the community leaders and some of the community members get involved in a participatory mapping exercise, where we were able to, together with them, were able to establish which areas are usually experienced flooding over the last 10 years and how deep this water was. This exercise was also mainly to involve them so they could actually understand the main effects and the main push for the project and the work we're actually doing. And maybe the other thing, the last thing to talk about and what we did, we tried to stay out of any of the, I will honestly call it drama, any of the drama that was coming up, because, for instance, maybe like there were some cases coming in as more of a political issue. So we tried our level best to maintain a neutral ground and explain ourselves, which still fell on deaf ears, because at the end of the day, they still didn't let us map, which we tried to let it go. We basically let it go and mapped the places where we were welcome. Yeah. So the main issue of sharing this is because I know this could be important for any other person planning a field mapping project, and yeah, it helps you to know that this is something that could actually happen to you in the field, and I hope this will help you prepare yourself and know what to do in case this arises. I added some resources in the talk that could help other field program managers and anyone planning field work. So there is this toolkit that was developed by HOT. Much as it's for a refugee context, I believe it can still be applied in other areas that require field mapping, because most of the steps laid out in this are really what you'll need to carry out your field mapping exercise. So for the next few minutes we have for the talk, I'd like to hear from you. If you've faced the similar challenge before, what were some of the concerns that were raised by the community members, and how did you go about it? Maybe also, I think as a community, we need to think, how best could we approach such scenarios? Maybe could we be doing more data literacy campaigns or talking more about open data in the first place? People should not be scared of our mapping initiatives. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Live.
Thank you very much for that very interesting presentation. We have a few questions. To start, how did you identify who the community leaders were?
So the community leaders, like the leadership structure, the administrative leadership structure in Uganda, so we have the mayors and then the village councillors. So we went to those leaders, like the legally elected leaders of those communities.
You mentioned that there was some distrust of the city authorities. Did you think that working with the city authorities helped or hurt your attempts to get trust from the people in the community?
So we had to work with the city authority because this was supposed to be a collaborative project. So I do not think it had, these were all really personal issues raised by the community members. So we couldn't have known whether with or without the Kampala Capital City Authority, they would be responsive or not.
Were there features that the community felt were more sensitive than others, like the people in the community who were concerned?
I think one feature would have been the status of the buildings, because we're mapping to assess the building risk to flooding. So, and then there was expansion going on. So some people were thinking, okay, if you say my house is in a poor state, does that mean I'm going to be evacuated or not? Yeah, so I guess the status of the buildings.
Mm-hmm. Are there situations where I think generally, perhaps not specific to Kampala, but generally where you feel that it's better to not map an area because possibly bad actors, officials, either city officials or other people could use the published data against the local population?
I'm not so certain of that, but I think at the end of it, this I was actually asking, do we need to be talking more about open data policies and how this information is actually used? So that's why I just shared about what we did to approach this case and this scenario, and also hope to hear from other people what like they think can actually be done in such scenarios, and yeah, learn from each other.
Yeah. I'd love to see what others have, what local experiences others have. Do the other two who are Marcel and Edie, do they have anything to add to that?
Yes, they do. I think Edie can go first.
Hello, everyone. As Shami introduced me, my name is Edie Chazua. I'm basically from Tanzania. I always seem chapter in Tanzania, but working with a local organization called Open Map Development Tanzania. But also executing a HOTS project here in Tanzania. So all the data collection and everything which require field work for Tanzania teams, we are responsible for it. Okay, so for the case of Shamira, which she was talking, like we had a couple of cases here in Tanzania, whereby we go to data collection and we find local people, they go against what we expected to do. And based on our experience, we have major two reasons which lead to that, like the cases which we experienced. So first one, I can put it as political reasons, whereby like due to political reason, you can go to a certain area to collect information, and you can find that area is under certain political leaders. So when you go with your ambition of data collection, they may think maybe you come for the political reason, maybe you want to count people, something like that. So in a situation like this, you can find that people are rejecting what you want to do. But in our case, to dissolve this situation, first what we usually do is to elaborate in detail in making sure that we address the concern of the people, like what the reason, like those people think we are there for. So we need to know like the exact reason, what is the motivated factor led them to think that we are for that things which they thinking us we are there for. And also to make sure that we are follow all the we are going with local leaders, the people who are like the leaders who are responsible for that specific area. For example, in Tanzania, we have different level of leadership, and the main which matter most is the local leadership, whereby, like, for example, we have a chairman, like the person or the leader who has been elected by local people of that specific area. So by making them understanding what we aim to do and like be familiar of whatever we up to in the area, that this help us to like help us to solve that this question. Also, another things happened when people think maybe they need to be evacuated. For example, we were doing flood mapping. Also, we are doing drone data collection, and in that drone, we are using a ground control point. So we are measuring the ground control points nearby river areas, and some of those ground control points, they are nearby people's land or in people's land. And so when we are going to take measurement, when we are going to surveying those ground control points, because it's nearby the river, and there's a rule that you are not allowed to build a house like within 60 meters of the river. So when we are surveying those ground control points and some of the people's land and some of the people's houses are within 60 meters of the river, so they directly think that we have something to do with the housing, we have something to do with like removing those people in those areas. So again, the same procedure. We the same procedure like as we did before, like is to making sure like we understand their concern, like what is the motivation factor, what is the motivation thing led them to think that we want to evacuate or to remove them from their area. So after understanding that, then it's easy to explain to them in detail like what we are doing in relationship of what they are thinking. And also, again, a local leader, a very important thing, like a very important to solve this situation. And as I said before, we have different rank of government, but we have municipal, we have city. But for this case, the people who they trust the most, they are local leaders. So we have to make sure that we make the local leader understanding well what we want to do, and from there, it's easy to pursue the local people in those areas. And yeah, and the good news, at the end of the time, all the cases, we managed to collect data and we managed to elaborate in detail what we are doing, and the local people people in those areas understanding us, what we are doing. And yeah, everything's end well. So that shows experience from Tanzania.
Thank you, Idi. Marcel, we can hear from Marcel. Similar experiences from Congo.
Hello. This is Marcel Shabani from Congo. As Shamila introduced me, I'm from Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo. And on data collection, as we have been working, we face many challenges, as Shamila mentioned. And in this side, as everyone know, the Democratic Republic of Congo, especially the Eastern Congo, have been through a lot of war. And into that, it's still like the community are like not really believe on the process of data collection into their community. So sometimes the big issues, it's about the sensitive information we are collecting. And on these challenges, what we have been going through and what we have been doing, we had first to, if we collected the data into rural area, we had to contact the king in this side, the Mwami. We have to talk to him so that he can introduce us to the community. In fact, because if we just come and go into their community, the community wants letters in, because they will think, always think that there is something behind that data collection, as these areas have been going through a lot of problem, insecurity, and these people think that every time people come in their community collecting data, they think that these people are like participating in their community, the insecurity into their community. And the truth that we have to talk to the king. If the king allow us to go into their community, we go now and talk to the community. And when talking to the community, all the community always ask what they are going to benefit. Because sometimes, you know, you can't go. You're going into the rural areas where people doesn't know about technology. They will always have many questions. How does this collection will bring us like peace? Because they said people always talk about peace. So with this one, we always think to talk first to going through administrative levels by the king, going talk to the king, and after these steps, we can go through the community, as this is still the red area. And with this, going far into the community, it's always and it's still difficult to collect data in Eastern DRC, like as we are facing a lot of issues, a lot of problem due to insecurity this side. And when collecting the sensitive information, we always explain to the community we are coming through. And as in the community have been like abandoned in their own faiths, do not directly see the importance of data collecting or seeing the impact into their community.
And I think related to, go ahead, Marcel.
Yes, and I was saying as it's still difficult, even with all the best way we have trying to collect data into this community, it's always a nice idea to take time, as it can take like more than one month, because we have first to go into the process of like involving the local communities and showing them what is the data collections. Yes, that's all.
So related to what Marcel was just saying, we have a couple of comments from the audience. One mentioned that oftentimes people showing up to survey an area means that the plan was old, and that is a concern to the locals. Another issue raised is that oftentimes the buildings being surveyed do not have permits. So the locals are concerned that the buildings can't legally exist, so they don't want them mapped, so they don't want them to show up as existing on any official maps. A comment that because the data is open data, even though the group mapping, even when the group mapping is not officially affiliated with the city, the city is likely to start using that data once it is mapped. So from the local perspective, it looks like it is the city, because it then they see it, they see the city using it soon after. So a question for the three of you is, would any sort of papers or documentation help or hinder your efforts to map?
I'll answer that. I believe documentation usually helps, because it helps you to know, like, when you're going to an area, people can clearly see who you are and what you're working, who you're working for, and what you're actually going to be doing. We always do this as HORT. Yes, Kath. So I believe it will actually help you, instead of, it will not hinder you in any way.
Have you that a certain presentation or what specific do you give, like, out flyers? Do you do a town meeting? What do you find helps?
We always do town meetings. We always meet with the leaders before the projects, and have presentations with both the people that we are going to be using in the data collection process, who are the mappers, and the community members themselves, and tell them about the project, tell them what you're going to be doing. Like I mentioned in the slides, we even usually have participatory mapping exercises with the community.
Do you carry any sort of information with you? Badges or anything like that?
Yes, we do carry those. We even usually have, like, letters, authoritative letters from government, or like the government organization that we're working with, detailing the projects that which we present to the leaders and the community members. Yeah, because you can't just show up without any of this information.
Edie, Marcel, do you have the same experience?
Also in our end, we usually have letters, like, because the permission start from at the ministry level. Like, you need the permission from the ministry level, you need the permission from the regional level. So for in data collection, what you go is with those permission from the, like, upper ministry, like from the region. Then if you be allowed to do the activity, then you go with all those permission to the local readers. So for local readers, which is village or hamlet, we just, like, we go with the letter to show them that this activities is already approved from the regional municipal level. Then we just go there with the letter to just give them information that we are here, and, like, we follow the procedure needed to be done. Then at the village or hamlet level, we, apart from bringing letters from region and ministry, we usually do community meeting. So with local leaders and with community who will be mapping with them, like, most of the time we are using a community member to map. So with readers and community member who will be mapping with them, and some of the representative from the 10 cell, like, we have, like, the smallest level of an administration bonded, which is 10 cell leaders. Then we have an introductory meeting, so to elaborate more about the project, to elaborate all the activity which we'll be doing for the entire time which will be there. And this help, even, like, when we have any problem, all the people who attended that meeting, they'll be understanding what we are there for, like, all in detail, what the project is about, and everything. But apart from all those things, we may find the situation where someone like refused to understanding, like all those things. He just refused to understand. So if we encounter that situation, is where the problem start. But in default mode, papers work, and the paper is introduction from the ministry or from the regional. And for the, in the village level or hamlet level, we just introduce the project and introduce the activities which we'll be doing. Yeah.
Great. That's very interesting. Marcel?
Yes, I do agree with both Shamila and Edie, what they've been saying. But in our area, in our side, in Democratic Republic of Congo, we have to go through a big process because it's always it takes long to get the approval from the government. We have to from the national administration level, and then we have to go to the governor. After the governor, the administrative level, we have to go now to those we call the king of the community. And that's into even that, the first one, it's always we always have to talk to the king, because when the king is like ordered to the community, no one can refuse or to execute his order. And even with that, also in those red areas, like where there have been truth many years into war, it's always difficult to get even if we have like all the approval to collect the data. It's always hard to convince the community that what we are trying to do will help you or will solve this or that problem. But people always think about like peace, and it's still like one of the big issues they said. But meeting with like is one of like the best way to talk to the community and to give them to get their approval so that we can collect data. And with that, they always ask to get their community involved. And if we get their community involved or their member, their community member involved, we have now the possibility of data. And with those members, they will be like the one between us and their community and trying to fix the problem or any issues.
A follow-up question for you, Marcel. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, yes, are artisan or illegal lithium mines a factor in people not wanting an area to be mapped?
Yes, there is. Let's take, for example, the Beni, or let's take, for example, like the Ituri territory, where a new project is going to start. People having all those issues about people coming collecting data, because they already think or seen something behind, which is like behind that data collection. And as the community itself is seeing everyone coming into their community with a bad eye, like this one is one of like the rebels or is one of who is coming to destabilize our community, and it's one of like the big issue this side.
A question for Shamila. Is it possible to go back to the community with members of other nearby parishes to help convince the community that was most reluctant?
Yes, it is. We actually tried to use that method as well. Actually, at the end, the St. Francis members did accept, during this is the time when we actually had finished the project. We're already returning with some of the products, the information products we had promised the village members, and doing the we usually have like a community like exit exercise where we are sharing the information that we picked and looking at the maps and understanding the information that was gathered. And this is when the St. Francis leaders were like, oh, you can actually come back and do the data collection. Yeah, so yeah, I believe they will actually also help as well.
So it sounds like that you have to put in a lot of preparatory effort before you can actually do the mapping. Do you find that the preparatory effort and the persuasion takes longer than the mapping itself?
In some cases it does, and I believe it's actually important. However long it takes, it's very crucial that the community understands what you're trying to do. It may delay your project at the end of the day, but it's very important. So yeah. Yes.
All right, I think our questions. And I think we're just a few minutes from when the next session is supposed to begin.
Okay.
So thank you very much for your presentation and for joining us. If you have any closing thoughts.
I believe maybe I would like to just share that we can actually continue this discussion on the different social platforms that are available, because I believe it's an important discussion to have. And I'll also share another link, because the resource I had put in the slides was actually updated, and I'll share that as well. Thank you very much.
Let me put the link into the hackpad and
let me do that.
All right. Well, thank you, Shamila. Thank you, Edie. Thank you, Marcel.
Thank you.
And thank you, audience, for joining us.